I have two guests, one in the studio and one by phone. Michelle Jarvis is the Two Harbors head librarian. Is that what I call you?
Hi, everybody. This is Madeline Jarvis. I'm the director at the Two Harbors Public Library.
There we go. And then Shannon Walls from the Silver Bay Public Library is also with us. Go ahead, Shannon. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Katya, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you both. I don't think I've ever actually had you both here or talked to you both at the same time, even though it seems like that would be an obvious thing, says here we are, the Lake County Librarians. But anyway, so let's begin just by talking a little bit about like a little backstory of libraries. I think I would guess that the fact that libraries exist is a pretty consensually agreed upon positive thing. And I know the Carnegie Library sort of legacy was big in Two Harbors. And was Silver Bay also a Carnegie Library, Shannon?
We are not. Nope.
Okay. I didn't think so. Yep. Anyway, so libraries started a long time ago, and just the whole idea of the public having access to education and books and all kinds of literature, just such a great thing. Does one of you want to share with us how the funding stream of libraries has, like in 2025, how do libraries work?
I can hop in on that, Shannon, if you want.
That sounds great. Thanks, Madeline.
So, as you said, Katya, 96% of Americans agree that libraries are important and vital in our communities. And here in Minnesota, libraries are funded through municipalities. So in Silver Bay, the majority of the funding comes from Silver Bay. In Two Harbors, the majority of the funding comes from the city of Two Harbors.
Okay.
And we also receive funding from Lake County. Okay. And we are very lucky in our situation that our stakeholders are generous, so please do thank your Silver Bay City Council, Two Harbor City Council, and Lake County Commissioners for their support of libraries. That's what our funding looks like as far as money in the bank. That being said, Shannon and I are both pretty aggressive grant writers for special projects, at the Two Harbors.
I have noticed that.
At the Two Harbors Library, we're working on becoming more accessible. Shannon just basically remodeled her entire building through a cacophony of different grants and public funding. And we're both very lucky to have loyal support from our friends of the Two Harbors Public Library and friends of the Silver Bay Public Library. But again, that's money in the bank. What we are kind of talking about as well is federal support, and that comes from the systems that support libraries. So things you might not necessarily see. If you come to the front desk at either library and ask for a book that's not in our system and it gets to you, the delivery that has that happen, the professional development for staff and online resources, those are federally funded. And that makes about 1% of the funding that library receives. So again, although we don't get a check from the federal government, we receive support. Shannon, does that resonate with you?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I guess maybe I could just say a little bit too. Madeline mentioned that if you couldn't get the book at our local library, we are able to access over 10 million books throughout the state of Minnesota and sometimes beyond. And in our region, a lot of those are one of the big things that we can access that we don't have access locally is our academic library.
Right.
And a wide variety of online resources that include encyclopedias, peer-reviewed literature databases, newspaper archives, magazine archives, and those things are things that our patrons use on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I would also say just hard to find books. I have often used MinLink when I can't find it in the Arrowhead Library system, and it was a seemingly miraculous development when it first started, just to be able to get such an access to just the lesser known or like you said, the academic journals, all that kind of stuff. Is that just some kind of an IT program? I mean, what you're leading to is that kind of funding may be in jeopardy. So where does that come from? Is that just an IT software program or what is that?
Great question. So libraries are powered by people, and this specific thing is called interlibrary loan, where the library acts as proxy to a patron. For instance, a few months ago, we got an email from a library in Oregon, and we just happened to have a music CD that one of their patrons wanted, and I have no idea how they that out of all the libraries, we were the one that was decided to fill that hold. But I was just playing with some numbers. And in 2025, the Two Harbors Public Library received 213 items through interlibrary loan outside of our system. And just so you know, for comparison, we usually add about 150 items to our collection every month. So picture our new shelf. And yeah, about half of that is full, would be full of the items we had received through interlibrary loan. But your question was, you know, where does that come from? How does that work? It depends on the system. A lot of the cost for interlibrary loan is things like mailing, right, staff time, that logistic.
Yes.
So it does take a lot of coordination.
Federal, and that comes from a federal, some kind of federal funding stream?
So the Institute for Museum and Library Services was founded in 1996. It's a bipartisan agency that was reaffirmed in 2010, and okay, they fund libraries through a variety of ways. They fund the state libraries that, again, the effects trickle to libraries like us. They fund a program called LSTA, which is Library Services and Technology Act. I know about that because we in Two Harbors have received funding from that. We received $20,000 for technology that we wouldn't have been able to afford otherwise. And Shannon and I are public librarians, and that's what makes our heart beat, and that's what we love. But the IMLS also really affects museums, so Lake County Historical Society and rural and tribal libraries. There's a lot of ways that the IMLS is impactful in lives of Americans.
Interesting. Shannon, do you have anything to add to that?
I think just that in our community, like Madeline pointed out, that we have very generous support from our city and our local government in funding our libraries. And I mean, if you've been inside our building, it's beautiful, and we're just about 4,000 square feet, so we can't hold everything. And we try to keep our collections up to date. But just that access and I think the joy I see in people's faces when they're like, hey, can you help me find this? And I'm able to say yes, just is kind of at one of the core pieces of what a library can do, that information sharing, that connection to resources, and how much it brings a rural community.
It seems like having a library be relevant in 2025 really is different than it was even in, say, 1990, just in that the whole internet thing has made it so that, in order to be part of what's happening, you kind of need to be dialed in a whole bunch of different ways. It is interestingly tied to education for me, because without all this extra funding, it seems like you would have essentially, rural libraries would depend solely on the resources that the town and the tax base of that town, that small town, would be able to provide. Similarly to education, like in Minnesota, there's some effort toward sort of equal education, whether you're in a small rural or a large suburban or a city school. And it's kind of the same. Do we all have all access to the same knowledge or not? Is that a fair comparison? Shannon, how about you first?
Yeah, I would definitely say that is a fair comparison. And just that, yeah, I just think about if you can't get it at your local library, and the internet has a lot of stuff, but we allow people to access the internet through our library, mm-hmm, too. That's another connectivity point for us. So, yeah, we serve such a wide role in our community, and we have an amazing collection, and we do so much more as a community, from programs, mm-hmm, to...
I was going to ask about the programs. Where does that funding come from? We have a lot of programs in both libraries, I know, because I put them in the community calendar whenever I can.
Yeah, we give you carpal tunnel from all the programming.
Yeah. Now, where did that come from?
I can say, for the Two Harbors perspective, the Beanstack online platform that we use for programming is covered in our operational costs through the City of Two Harbors.
Wow. Okay.
Everything else is either from the Friends of the Two Harbors Public Library, private donations, or grants. So as you go through our events calendar, we publish a 12-page newsletter every other month. Everything else is funded externally.
And I would also give a big shout out to the Arrowhead Library System, which we're members of, and they do a lot of work to help funding. And we just had last week a Carving Your Clan program, which we filled up with artist Jeffrey Tibbetts. And some of those programs come from the Arrowhead Library System, and we're super lucky that they're able to help provide some of that programming.
I guess it's safe to say libraries have kind of become cultural centers as well. And that's something that is just to acknowledge that that has happened. And maybe they always were, but they definitely are now. Do you have any idea of the numbers? How many people only have access to the internet via the library? Because that would, you know, really affect people's ability to get jobs and people's ability to communicate with others and all that.
And when we talk about access, it's kind of threefold. One, can you physically receive internet at your house? And in Lake County, that's not something we can take for granted. Two, literally, do you have internet at your house, whether through financial means or elsewhere? And three, do you have the knowledge about how to access the internet at your house? Mm-hmm. So when we think about that access, we do basic adult education, and we partner with agencies that also provide that adult education. We've talked about the digital divide before, thinking that this was going to close, that whether or not you're able to access and understand online resources as the online world becomes more and more in world, that digital divide would shrink. But we're actually seeing it increase because younger generations are coming up and they know their device, but they might not necessarily know how to fill out a PDF online. And if you want to apply for a job anywhere, you're going to need to fill out a PDF, like some sort of an application.
Right.
And it's hard to do that on your phone. You can, but I don't want to text out a resume. What are your thoughts, Shannon?
Nope, exactly right. I don't have specific numbers for you, Katya. I can tell you how much our computers and internet were used last year, which is over 3,000, you know, by over 3,000 individuals. But I think that what Marilyn kind of hinted on a little bit too is that not only do that we provide physical services, we actually help a lot of people who have questions of like, hey, I don't know how to do this, like fill out a job application, or you know, I'm trying to make an online purchase and I've never done that before. Can you like tell me what that looks like?
Right.
I don't even know how to go about that. And so being that person resource as well as a physical resource is really important.
I'm reminded of a comment in the candidate forum for the Two Harbors City Council, and they were talking about housing. And one of the candidates had what I thought was a great idea, which was that we need, she said, some kind of a senior liaison. She said there's all these seniors living in their homes, and just the process of getting a small apartment, even aside from whether that apartment exists, includes all kinds of online stuff that they don't know how to do. Like, they actually need someone to help them walk through that process. And I mean, she was suggesting it for Housing and Redevelopment Authority person, but I think it's relevant here because it's sort of yet another way that libraries could be a critical link in just helping create access for people.
Yeah, Shannon and I both serve on the Age Friendly Lake County Task Force because, as you know, Lake County is an aging county, and the patrons that we see, we're trusted with such vulnerable questions, and that we're able to meet with other, I think we're all in the social service sector, and that we receive different questions about that same resource. Because to your point, move somewhere, how many phone calls and how many clicks does it take you to set up your electric account, right? You need to cancel your old one. You need to know how to enter in online payments. Are you comfortable with online payments? It's going
to
take
and all that after you have figured out where to move to and and figure out how to sell what you have today, your home, and an overwhelming amount of online activity. And I mean, I have a father who's 85 and pretty darn sharp, and he is continually overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh, man, can we brag about a project that we worked on really quickly?
Yes, you may.
Shannon, do you want to take the lead on talking about the Big Read Grant? Because as Katya's talking, I'm thinking about our Mike Yovanovitch program series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. No, thanks. Last year we had the amazing opportunity through some funding through the Victory Fund to work together with the two libraries and the North Shore Partners, Community Partners, and the Finland Community Center to do the Big Read Project. And we chose a book that was part of a collection. It was a graphic novel called Can't We Talk About Something?
Oh, my goodness. I love that book. Madeline brought that to me. I laughed. I cried. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. And it was, I've had a lot of people say that. They're like, wow, because it's a graphic novel. And some of the people reading it were like, I've never used this format before. And it was amazing. And so it was fun to have that book as a connector within the community. But we were able to talk about caregivers, aging in place, and then that intergenerational connection that helps communities thrive. And we had a whole series of activities that were happening all around the county. And it was so successful that we actually worked together and have submitted another grant to do programming that will actually, if we get it, impact the whole Arrowhead region.
Oh, that is so great. I was going to say, you should just repeat that program every 6 months. I swear it. It was such a groundbreaking book.
Thank you so much.
Repeat the name of the book again so listeners can go, what? What book again?
And they can borrow it at their local libraries. Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant by Roz Chast? And to Shannon's point, I love the programming we did because not only is it an impactful book, but by you leveraging that external funding, we were able to bring in programming to bring that book to life. So at the Silver Bay Library, you could attend an intergenerational art class because the whole thesis of the book is, what do you do in the sandwich generation when you're seeing your parents age, your kids age, and you need to take care of yourself too? And both libraries collaborated on a series with an auctioneer and downsizing expert who talked about, kind of to your point, what do you do when you look around and you have how do you distinguish the stuff from the things when you're getting ready to move? And that series was so cool. We were able to bring him in for four sessions over Zoom. We impacted, I think, 80 households. And that's something that we never would have been able to do had it not been for that grant.
Now, I was tempted to ask you when you first came in, you know, what about the listener that thinks, you know, a library should be to come and borrow a book, and that's what libraries are for. So what's the big hoopla about, you know, potential danger to other services? But I'd like to think that maybe it's just in naming it, you know, that libraries really are now serve more than that as a baseline function to keep communities going. Communities have different needs than they did, like, say, in the 80s when libraries were essentially books and
Exactly. What information looks like and how we access information has changed. And part of, to your point, that information is, how do we resonate and connect with our local communities? I've heard it been said that libraries used to be like a grocery store. You get what you need and you bring it home. But what Shannon and I have fostered in Lake County is our libraries are a living room. They're a kitchen.
Interesting.
You get what you need and you collaborate and you use that to build further.
So you're no longer the shopping center. You are now the living room. I like that analogy. Oh, go ahead, Shannon.
I was just going to say, we're doing our strategic planning right now for the next few years. And I had a really great conversation with a woman who is in filling out our survey. And she just said, you know, in Silver Bay, the library is the only place you can come for free to hang out, no matter what the weather is. And then my kids are able to connect with other kids. I'm able to get out of the house, and being in that space and not having to like pay for anything, but just like be in community is really valuable. And
Well, and I remember when our kid 20 years ago, when we didn't live here, we lived somewhere else, but the toddler program that was run by this absolute amazing grandmotherly type woman who had it all figured out what toddlers love. And that program got us out of the house every week, rain or shine, which is not an easy thing to do when you have little kids. And so I can just, my memory will bring that back. Shannon, thank you for the reminder of that. Oh my goodness, that was great. We are running out of time, but I just want to mention that, you know, for those who feel that they want to do something more, they're inspired by this, what can I do? What would you tell them? Go ahead, Madeline.
Shannon and I just love this so much, and I want to recognize that I'm in the studio, so I apologize for jumping at this. But if you are concerned about that IMLS funding, feel free to contact your elected representatives and share your library story. Like, this is where I would connect. This, as a young mom, is where I was able to bring my toddlers. Please do thank your elected representatives here in Two Harbors and Silver Bay and throughout rural Lake County as well. We are lucky to be so supported. So thank them for your library funding. And again, share your library story. If you'd like to get active in your library as well, both libraries have friends groups, and you do not need to live in the communities to become a friend of the library. It's a nice way, again, to give back if you want to volunteer, get to know folks, and thank your library workers, because it is such wonderful work, but it can also be emotionally heavy work. There are days where I know I'm the first person that somebody has talked to, and it's 2 p.m. It's very important work. And again,
it's kind of social work, really.
It really is. So thank the folks you see at the front desk, Julia and Terry up at Silver Bay, and then Emily and Nicole and Hannah in Two Harbors. They do such great work.
And I want to add that this week, if you want to become a friend of the library, is a great time because I believe they will have a friend there during all open hours. Is that right, Madeline?
Yeah. So next week is actually National Library Week. And if you want to learn more about the Friends in Two Harbors, stop on by. They're doing a membership drive. And if you are already a member or join, you get $3 towards the next Friends of the Library book sale. And the Silver Bay Friends just did an awesome fundraiser this February as well.
Did we miss yours, Shannon? It's already happened.
We do. I love your library, but we have a book sale in July, so they can come. Everyone can stop by during Bay Days and say hi. But also, just what you can do: stop into the libraries, hang out, look at the stuff, do programming. All that is a really good way to support your library too.
Yes, it is a wonderful place to come and hang out. How many places are there like that anymore? So, do it, everybody. All right. Well, we really are out of time now. So, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck with the next few weeks and months. Thank you so much again for just coming to share the value of the libraries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katya.
Yes, this is Shannon Walls from Silver Bay and Madeline Jarvis in Two Harbors.